Luce.
The iPad is smaller.
I can't hear you, Jeff.
No, I'm saying the iPad, it's me. We're experiencing load shedding this side.
Yeah, I was about to remove you.
No, my apologies. So I'm not used to using iPad. So I think next time.
We'll remove Ricardo. You're in trouble.
I know. It's good. I think Advocate Princess Takola will be very happy that people who are not named, they are removed.
Recording in progress.
Chair. Chair.
Yes. Yes.
If the candidate is already in, Advocate Tlakula is in.
Yes, no, I saw her. Good afternoon, Advocate Princess Tlakula.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
No, we are good. We are good. No, thank you very much. I am the chair of this panel of interviews. And my name is Bulelani Magwanishe. Welcome. I hope you are well.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I also have to apologize. I'm using my iPad. My laptop is refusing to connect. I'm not sure what the problem
Okay, no problem. Okay, now we'll start with our interview. I am restricted to 5 minutes, so I must extract everything in 5 minutes. So that all members, that is the rule, we are restricted to 5 minutes so that you are able to accommodate other candidates. Please tell.
Chairperson, I can't hear you. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Or you disappeared. You just said tell, and then I couldn't hear anything after that.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, can you tell the committee about who you are, your values, your experience, and why you believe you are suitable for appointment to be a member of the information regulator?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank good afternoon to you and to members of the portfolio committee. My name is Phensi Tlakula. I am legally trained. I have acquired a lot of experience in my career, particularly in institutions that are independent and constitutional institutions. And also other institutions, not only nationally, but also on the African continent and internationally. The experience that I bring stays back from the South African Human Rights Commission, and that is where I will start because I regard that as the most relevant experience that I am bringing should I be appointed. I was appointed at a very young age as one of the founding members of the South African Human Rights Commission at the dawn of our democracy in 1995. And under the able leadership of the then chairperson of the commission, Dr. Bunny Pityana, we were able to establish the Human Rights Commission from scratch at that time. And I also bring experience as having also had the opportunity to serve first as the chief electoral officer of the Electoral Commission and subsequently its chairperson. I was also privileged to have been nominated by my country to serve as a member of the African Commission on Human and People's Rights and its special rapporteur on freedom of expression and access to information. I held that position for 12 years, and in the last 2 years of my tenure at the commission, I became the chairperson to continued to be a mandate holder of freedom of expression and access to information, which was a rarity in the commission. At the moment, I am, as you know, the chairperson of the information regulator, but I'm also a member of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Combined, all this experience that I have equipped me with, have enabled me to function and to operate in independent institutions. And I bring the values of being able to function independently without fear, favor, or prejudice.
That's fine. And then the second question, are you available to serve in a full-time or part-time capacity?
I'm available to serve on a full-time capacity, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The information disclosed in your disclosure statement, to the best of your knowledge, is it true?
It is true to the best of my knowledge as far as I know.
Yes. Is there any information that you would want to bring to our attention? If discovered, will bring the information regulator into question or your own reputation into question?
Other than what I have disclosed in a statement, the questionnaire that I submitted, Chair, I'm not aware of it.
Thank you very much. Let me, members, I have Honorable Glenis Breitenbach. We can start, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Advocate Lakula.
Good afternoon, Honorable Breitenbach.
I hope you're well.
I'm good, thank you, and yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Now that Papia is, I must tell you at the outset, I'm a great admirer of brevity. Now that Papia is fully operational and the regulator is shifting its focus to implementation, share with us your views on how you're going to successfully deal with the implementation phase.
The implementation phase, as far as I'm concerned, should start with guiding responsible parties on how they should comply with COPIA, which is what we have done with the guidance notes, the various guidance notes that we have drafted. And that's the first thing that we have to do. The second thing, we have to ensure that we put in place, which we have also started, the enforcement mechanisms of the information regulator, which consists of the information committee, which we have started to actually put together. We have already identified the members, and we are in the process of consulting the Chief Justice and the Minister of Justice and Correctional Service on the chairperson of the Enforcement Committee. We have identified retired Judge Cynthia Pretorius to chair the Enforcement Committee, and we have already spoken to her and have submitted her CV to the minister and the Chief Justice. We also have to ensure that we collaborate and with the law enforcement of agencies, because there is law enforcement a part of our enforcement. We also have to talk to the prosecutorial services, because as you know, also non-compliance with certain provisions of the Act of POPIA in particular constitute a criminal offense. I don't know if I've been, brief enough, Honorable.
Yeah,
I'm scared because I don't want to talk for too long.
We've all got a limited time period, and so it's better to be brief. My second question relates to now that you've been the information regulator for this period of time, what are two of the key challenges or risks that you faced, and what are your suggested mitigation strategies going forward?
One of the risks that I have just discovered is the depth of expertise on POPIA in particular in South Africa. And I'm saying this with the greatest of respect to all the professionals out there. We are all still trying to learn how POPIA works. Some of us who have been there for 5 years have acquired a little bit of expertise. So the lack of expertise is a big challenge. And even among the staff that we have employed, we find that they still have a very long way to understand how the Act works together and to interpret it. But I don't want also to talk about POPIA only, because that becomes the default position. I think we need to treat PAIA and POPIA equally. And one of the challenges that I see is that PAIA has been, you know, regarded as a piece of legislation to promote transparency and to deal with corruption, but that's good enough. It has done that. I think we need to go into another phase and see how we can empower South Africans to use PAIA actually to request information from government departments, particularly information relating to service delivery, because as you have seen just before the elections, there were lots of issues around service delivery. And it is my considered view that we can actually, we should actually empower our South Africans to be able to use PAIA effectively to enable them to receive information on service delivery from government departments.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach. Honorable Vernahorn.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Tlakula.
Good afternoon, Honorable Horn.
My first question to you is centers on the right to privacy, which of course is not only in terms of our legislation covered by POPI, and specifically the finding of the Constitutional Court in the Amamungani case in February around RICA, and parts of RICA have found wanting in terms of constitutionality. And you would be aware that, in that specific case, ultimately the court found that the process that is spelled out in RICA currently for permission to do communication surveillance is not sufficient. So we now as Parliament have 3 years since February to fix this. So what advice would you give Parliament as to how we can strengthen the provisions? And do you see a role for the information regulator in terms of additional authority when we amend the legislation?
Yeah, difficult questions, as expected, Honorable Horn, from you. I think there is a role. Let me start with the last question. And I'm starting with it because it's an issue that we are already looking at, the issue of surveillance, not within the context that you have asked me, within the context of surveillance as it happens generally in our country in terms of these cameras that you find, like Vuma cameras and all that, and the compliance of those kind of devices with POPIA. And that's where we see our role as the information regulator. But when it comes specifically to the RICA matter, I haven't thought about it, but I thought that it would be best left to the judiciary to authorize any interception of communication. And that's really, because that's what best practice is internationally, that it has to be the judiciary. It can be in the domain of a quasi-judicial body, such as the information regulator, or for that matter, in the hands of the executive or any other branch. So that's how I see it. But it's something that I haven't thought through. This is just my preliminary response to your question, my preliminary views.
Thank you. Then the second question, if you now could turn back the clock to 2016 when you took office and taking into consideration the struggles you faced to establish this office properly, and also specifically the struggles around the organogram and the classifications, what would you have done differently?
You know, looking back, I think we should have started probably with the guidance notes that we ended up, you know, drafting and adopting. I say so because now that we are applying those guidance notes, we are finding a lot of gaps and anomalies. We find that those guidance notes were informed maybe by theory, but the application brings out different challenges. Maybe we should have started, yes, with the organogram, but probably paid more attention to the interpretation of POPIA because it is quite a complex piece of legislation. But we are where we are. I think we have done fairly well. You have traveled this journey with us, Honorable Horn, the struggles, but with perseverance, we've managed. We now have 80 staff members. I was quite shocked, actually, went to the office full of people when we actually started just with the five of us. So the organization has grown a lot, and I think we can say that we have tried. We've put our best foot forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn, Honorable Ramo Lebeng.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Honorable.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
I think I'm okay. I would like to ask you a few sets of questions. As a member of the information regulator, you will require leadership skills, but also be prepared to work with other members, especially accountable to the chairperson of the regulator. How would you describe your leadership style?
My leadership style, Honorable Member, is consultative. I listen to the views of my colleagues. I canvass everybody's views, but eventually, when the time comes to take a decision, I am not shy. I'm not shy to take decisions or to even push my members to take a decision. Because I find that lack of decisiveness, you know, does not render organizations ineffective and inefficient. But also because I bring a lot of leadership skills, just if looking at my CV, I think my leadership style also is to ensure that I empower young people who I lead, in particular those who have less experience than I have. I feel that it is my obligation to actually empower them, to lead them, and to ensure that after a couple of years, they also have good leadership skills. But I am consultative. I'm not authoritarian. But at the same time, I'm not scared to take.
Okay, you, in essence, you are a team player.
Yes, I am a team player, very much so. And I think if you look at also how we have worked with the four members in the regulator, we have had robust debates, but we always agree eventually, and we are able to work together for the good of the organization.
How would you then best say your team or your previous team would describe you as both a leader and a team player in that instance?
I think so, they will, but they will probably also say that I am a hard task. I don't want to use master because it's in terms of gender, it's not okay. I can't use that name. I push people very hard. Maybe they will say that because I bring those values of working very hard and expecting people to equally work as hard as I do. So maybe some people will feel that I push them too hard, but unfortunately, that's how it should be. Maybe that's what they will say. I don't know.
Okay. In the past years, a number of data breaches have occurred in which most personal information of millions of South Africans were released in the internet stage. Please explain how data protection laws can protect the personal information of millions of South Africans of data subjects.
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question, Honorable Member, because I'm sure you have been following the recent experience breach that happened earlier this year, and I'm a victim of that because my information was found on Telegram arising out of that experience breach. I think the Act is very clear, the protection of personal information. It requires responsible parties to put in place adequate and reasonable security measures to secure the integrity and the confidentiality of the information which they process, the personal information they process. And failure to do that then becomes or attracts sanctions. Once we've investigated the matter and we find that Section 19 of the Act deals with security safeguards have not been complied with, we can then refer the matter to the Enforcement Committee. The Enforcement Committee will then make a finding and then will come make a recommendation to the regulator on the sanctions to be applied, which can be 10 million rands or imprisonment for 10 years. But I think we have to welcome also the adoption by Parliament of the Cyber Crimes Act, because it will complement COPIA in dealing decisively also with cyber criminals. And maybe what we should also do is to lobby that act must be brought into operation by the president, because as I'm saying, that the two pieces of legislation complement each other.
Okay. Lastly, whilst we're on the copy.
No, sorry, Honorable Ramo Lobeng, your time is up.
Thank you, Ms. Akula, and thanks, Chair.
Thank you
very much. Honorable Noma Themba Maseko Jele.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Advocate Kakula.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Earlier you touched on the issues of compliance, but I want you to venture more on that area, but particularly addressing the concerns of the South African human rights, which is, about the rights of access to information, which according to them is not being fully or consistently realized. In that case, I would request that maybe how can the information regulator ensure that there is there is improved compliance or on the issues of PAIA legislation?
Honorable Jelle, for that. I think the South African Human Rights Commission did a brilliant job in administering PAIA, but they were faced with enormous challenges. One of those challenges was that they did not have enforcement powers. So if there was non-compliance, there was nothing that they could do except probably going to court to enforce compliance. Fortunately, the amended PAIA that has come to the information regulator gives the information regulator enforcement powers as far as PAIA is concerned, because the enforcement committee will deal with both non-compliance with PAIA and non-compliance with COPIA. So once a requester has exhausted internal remedies and have not been given the information that they have been given, they then can come to the information regulator to lodge a complaint, and that complaint can, after investigation, be forwarded to the enforcement committee following the same process that COPIA would follow. The only challenge that we have is that in terms of the amended PAIA, non-compliance with an information notice issued by the information regulator does not have consequences. You see, in POPIA, once we issue an information notice requiring the responsible party to give us certain information, if they fail to comply with that information notice, that constitutes a criminal offense. But in PAIA, non-compliance with an information notice does not attract any sanctions. Therefore, I'm flagging this already as one of the areas that the committee should look at, looking into the possibility of amending PAIA so that there can be consequences for non-compliance with an information notice.
Thank you very much. You know, with you, when we are listening, it's like we're listening on a lecture. So sometimes we would like appreciate if maybe you cut it short. A lecture, because you have a lot of information, I can see, I can hear that. But the next information, May Advocate Tlakula, what would be the role, according to your view, the role that the regulator would have in making, in maintaining balance between protecting citizens' personal data and ensuring their internet freedom? What would be the role of the regulator?
Yes, because if you look at information, internet freedom is the right to freedom of expression, actually. So as we, the Act is very clear that as we interpret POPIA insofar as the right to privacy is concerned, we have to make sure that we balance that right against other rights, especially the free flow of information, access to information, and freedom of expression. And the rights, internet rights, are freedom of expression rights online. So they are also protected in terms of human rights.
Thank you. And the last one, I can see that you're not sensitive, but with due respect, advocate. Okay, the last question would be, in your understanding, the challenges faced in accessing information in South Africa, what would be your view on that?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Advocate Fancy Atakula and Chairperson. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Jelle, Honorable Mola.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings, Advocate Tlakula.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mola.
Why do you think POPIA requires the regulator to be impartial and independent?
It's because the information regulator regulates everyone. It regulates, except for the exceptions that are in the Act. It regulates the executive. It regulates even Parliament insofar as certain functions are concerned. So, because of that, it has to be located outside, actually, the executive, because it regulates all public bodies and all private bodies. So it's absolutely important for the regulator to be impartial and independent for it to be able to execute its functions properly and effectively.
There is a growing discussion within government on the importance of accelerating digital economy and the fourth industrial revolution. Do you perhaps think that it is important for government to include in those discussions the regulator? And if the answer is on the affirmative, why?
Yes, we have been saying that, and we are very sad that these discussions are taking place without reference to the information regulator, because those processes that you are talking about and those innovations, data intensive. You cannot talk about digital economy, you cannot talk about the fourth industrial revolution without talking about data, because they are based on data. And that is why it's very important to ensure that as the government is shaping its policy on these issues, they should ensure that the protection of personal information on data that is collected is protected. But I must also say that the Department of Digital Technologies have consulted us on the policy, one of the policies that they are developing.
All right. Lastly, Chair, this question I'm going to ask Advocate Tlakola is one based on two things.
Okay.
One, that you are part of the outgoing team in the regulator.
Yes.
Two, because we are parliament and we are tasked with the responsibility to enact laws of the country. So, so it will help us. It will help you as well. Yesterday, I don't know when you left the country, but yesterday there is a High Court judgment by the Premier Pretoria High Court, which speaks on the tax records of a taxpayer, where the court directs the revenue services to give to the media on tax records. Now, the discussion in the country, I know you're outside, but the discussion has already ensued that there is a conflict between the Protection of Information, Personal Information Act, and the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Do you think there is a conflict? And if yes, what would be the balancing act between the two?
Well, I don't think there's a conflict as such, because the case, I haven't read the judgment. I read what is in the newspapers and the summary. I think the critical point in that judgment is that that information will be disclosed if it's in the public interest to do that. I think we need to underline that. And if you look at Pohia and if you look at Paia, both of them, when it comes to issues of freedom of information, access to information, and freedom of expression, they also say that the right to privacy should be balanced against the right to freedom of expression and access to information if doing so would be in the public interest. So I think that's what we need to underline. So it's not, I don't think the judgment is carte blanche saying that tax records of everyone should be made available. I don't think so. I haven't read it, but once you, the issue of public interest comes into it, it means it records of certain persons, probably public officials, which have to be made available, or high profile people, so to speak.
Well, thank you, Chair. I like this battle of ideas.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mola. Honorable Velmivot Drachens.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Good afternoon, Ms. Tlakula. I'm very happy to see you. I'm Womania Drachen, and I'm using a sign language interpreter whose voice you are hearing. My first question, you know, as you come to the end of your term, COVID happened, obviously, and as the information regulator, what have you learned from that? And there are also a lot of privacy, data protection, and compliance concerns. What are the protection concerns that you have identified in respect of COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic during your time at the IR?
The concerns that I have really is the information, personal information that has been collected in the process of containing the spread of COVID. And I am not sure whether, I mean, it's collected everywhere in private places, restaurants and so on. We are required to write our names and to give our details, including our telephone numbers. Apart from that, there's information that also goes to the database of the Department of Health. And that database, you know, the principles of data protection is that if you no longer need the information, you should destroy it, de-identify it, or delete it. And after the national state of disaster has come to an end, if at all it will come to an end, then it means that we have to ensure that that information, personal information that was collected, has to be de-identified if it's going to be used for historical purposes, for instance, or statistical purposes. so that that information does not fall into wrong hands and be used for purposes other than the ones that the information was collected for. So, and recall that we have written a report to Parliament in terms of Section 40 of the Protection of Personal Information for Parliament to, you know, perform its oversight role to ensure that that happens once the national state of disaster has come to an end. Hello, am I still there?
Yes.
Sorry, my second question is, you know, we had the local government elections recently, and they have access to personal information, all the different role players, personal data. But it needs to be processed lawfully and legally. So what, in your view, does that mean? That people's personal data being processed lawfully for election purposes?
Yes, that matter we dealt with it quite earlier on by having a colloquium with the IEC in terms of how they process personal information of voters in the voters' roll. And it is those discussions that led to the amendment of the Electoral Act to ensure that the voters' roll that is given to political parties and to everybody has a redacted version of the ID. So we dealt with that, and we were happy that in actual fact our proposals were taken on board by Parliament and the Act was amended. But we also issued a guidance note on how political parties should process personal information of voters for campaigning purposes and not bombard them with a campaign messages. And I must commend political parties because for this election, really, they did manage to observe the guidance note, and the unsolicited campaign messages really were very few and far between.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable. What questions? I don't see any hands from my computer. Have all members asked questions, those who want to ask questions? Or there's Honorable Janji?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I did raise it, but I think I got a cut off briefly, so that's why you don't see the hand. Thank you. It's raining hard here, and welcome this rain. To the incumbent chairperson, Advocate Tlakula, just two brief questions. I think the first one, let me start by sharing the statement with you that says that the processing of access to information set out in PAIA can be regarded as very cumbersome and tedious. Do you agree with that statement?
I agree.
It is so.
It is so because, you know, PAIA was adopted quite many years ago, two decades ago. There have been developments in internationally on access to information. And the trend really is for an access to information law to provide for proactive disclosure of information, instead of going through this lengthy process of asking for a record and then going, and then, you know, people can say the record does not exist. So I think that there's an opportunity to amend PAIA to bring it in line with the recent developments in international access to information regime.
Now, given what you said upfront to the chairperson, a passion about empowering communities, but also the fact that in a very positive way, you have been settled as a pioneer for two institutions, the South African Human Rights and now Information Regulator. What would be the practical steps that you would initiate to enhance community access to PAIA procedures?
I think it's that section in PAIA that says we have to empower disadvantaged communities to understand the law. That has a proviso to say within available resources. And I think that's where the South African Human Rights Commission got caught up, because they did not have adequate resources to educate disadvantaged communities on PAIA. But with us, we have made it our focus to say that's what we are going to do. The regulator, that's what is going to do to ensure that it empowers ordinary people to use PAIA, particularly in the light of the service delivery protests, which can actually be, I think, decreased if we empower communities to go to the municipalities to ask for information. If that information is not coming through, for the regulator to then be able to use its powers for that information to come. I think that's the role that the regulator should be playing going forward.
As the last question, allow me to exploit your exposure and the experience and the fact that I'm speaking to an incumbent in this position. I wanted to have a takeaway from you in one sentence or two. How would you help this panel to understand that balance between the role of the regulator to protect personal data and privacy on the one hand, and on the other hand, promoting the recourse to those that are claiming to right of access to information?
Promote transparency to ensure that there is no opaqueness in information held by public and private bodies, but as you do so, ensure that the right to privacy under relevant and permissible circumstances is also protected. Because, and I'm saying this because there can be a tendency to push privacy more than access to information, and that will lead to opaqueness, and it will not be good for democracy.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I yield back.
Thank you very much. I must say, Honorable Janja, in Veyo, in Pretoria, it's very hot. You can't even breathe.
It's raining here. Thank you. Sorry.
Where I am, Chairperson, is very cold. Extremely.
Let's exchange. At the Tlakula, just a few issues on my side. The first question, do you think the interview was fair?
Yes, Chair. I think it was very fair.
Okay. Do you think the questions were fair?
Yes, they were fair and they were engaging as well. It's just that the time was not enough for the type of questions that you were asking.
No, thank you very much. As you know that your term comes to an end on the 30th of November. So we will make recommendations to the National Assembly, possibly next week. It will interact with our recommendations and then transmit its decision to the president. Before the end of the month, the nation will know who are the new information members of the information regulator. Thank you very much for making yourself available. We don't take this kindly. We are very excited that we have people like yourselves making themselves available.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a privilege to work with you and the members of the committee.
Thank you very much. Let's exchange venues, because I can't cope here.
I know. You don't want to be here. It's a lot of phones. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honourable members for giving me this opportunity. Thank you
very much. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Mr. Romano, who's next?
Chairperson, the next candidate is Mr. Gwala.
Is he on the line?
He is, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Gwala, good afternoon. You are muted.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. Good afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Thank you. I have only 5 minutes to interact with you, so we will appreciate if you can be brief.
Okay.
Please tell the committee about who you are, your values, your experience, and your belief system, and why do you think you are suitable to be appointed to be the member of the information regulator?
Okay. I'm Mfana Gwala. I'm a practicing attorney. I'm an admitted attorney of the High Court, and I've been practicing as such for the past 10 years. In fact, it will be post-admitted, it will be 11 years on the 29th of November. I was practicing on my own account. Now I am a partner at Dentin South Africa, which is a global firm based in Sandton and Cape Town. I have been serving in fact, I'm a member of the Law Society of South Africa. I serve in the Executive Committee of the Law Society of South Africa. I also serve in the Council of the Law Society. I'm also a member of the National Association of Democratic Lawyers. The reason why I think the committee should consider me for this position, the Law Society, before the advent of the Legal Practice Council, has been the regulatory body for the legal profession. So one has been serving in the committee, if I'm not mistaken, it will be about 7 or 8 years now. So I'm bringing that experience in the regulatory space, because the information regulator plays a regulatory function. So that's the skill I'm bringing. Obviously, as a lawyer, I've realized that that skill will come on handy, because the regulator deals with critical rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, trying to strike a balance in the protection and access to information. So it requires the skill that I think I possess.
Thank you very much. Are you available to serve in full-time or part-time capacity?
I'm available to serve on part-time basis, because currently I'm a partner at Denton. Yes, sir.
How are you going to balance your responsibility as a partner of a global firm and your tasks as a member of the information regulator?
Yeah. You know, as a partner, one of the things that you do is basically not just managing your practice, but managing your time generally. And that's why I've been able to carefully balance my role in serving in other structures without necessarily compromising my practice. So it's a matter of basically managing your time. And as a partner working with a team, it's not a challenge really to balance the time.
The issues you disclose in your disclosure form, to the best of your knowledge, are they true? To the best of your knowledge?
I confirm that to the best of my knowledge, they are incorrect.
Is there anything that you would like to bring to the attention of this committee? If found out, will compromise you or the information regulator?
Not at this stage.
Thank you. Are there any, if you serve part time, will there be any conflict of interest between your role as a partner in a global firm and your role as an information regulator?
I don't think so. I think even the Act itself, the Protection of Information Act, deals with a section that deals with how you deal with conflict. I don't think there is any conflict at the moment that will prevent you from serving in the regulator.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. I have Honorable Glenys Breitenbach. Can you proceed with your questions?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon, Mr. Gwala.
Good Good afternoon, Ms. Reitenbach.
I'm sure you can hear the rain, Mr. Chair. Enjoy. Quite seriously.
It's quite hot Mr. where we are.
Yeah, raining in Cape Town and cold.
Okay.
Mr. Gwala, I'm a great admirer of brevity. So now that the Poppy Act is fully operational, if you would join the regulator, you will be joining at a time when it is shifting in the process to focus on implementation. If you are appointed, can you highlight two ways in which you would contribute towards the successful implementation of the Poppy Act?
Yeah, I've actually looked at, to be quite frank, I've looked at the strategic plan of the regulator and the annual performance plan. And I've identified a few areas, but I would specify one. I see that the Act also provides for, let me put it this way, the enforcement and compliance aspect of the Act has kicked in. My understanding, and I'm speaking under correction, but with effect from the 1st of July, 2021. And I think that's the area which I would make a sound contribution as a lawyer, and the background that I have, and having presided over various fora, and currently I'm also serving in the Small Claims Court as the commissioner. So I see that a lot of the issue that will become much more pronounced will be the issue of enforcement and compliance. I think that I could play a very significant role in that respect. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that I would not be able to play any role in other aspects, but I specifically looked at that and I realized that that's a very important role. I know that there's education and other aspects, but I think in the enforcement aspect, I bring a lot of experience in that regard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm done.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Nieuwoud Drachens.
Thank you very much, Chair. And good afternoon, Mr. Gwala.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I am Wilma Nieuwhout-Druffin. I use South African Sign Language, so the voice that you're hearing is that of my interpreter, Delphin.
Okay.
My first question to you is in relation to, apologies, Wilma's screen is freezing. Just a second, Chair, while we get Ms. Nieuwhout back.
I can see her.
Sia, if you could just switch her screens. Okay. I'm going to repeat the question. The global spread of COVID-19 has generated numerous privacy and data protection and compliance concerns. And there are concerns that the pandemic has acted as a catalyst for increased data sharing. What are some of the data protection concerns that you have identified in respect of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, I would say the advent of the Act. I think the regulator is only 5 years old. This will be the second term, and just globally, I mean, there's already an issue about the management of data and how data has been used, and I think that is a serious challenge for us in South Africa. And I think that the regulator will have a lot of work to do in that respect. But what I'm thinking of here is I can see that a lot of work has gone in, but I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. in terms of creating the necessary protocols. The Act also talks about the code of conduct. The Act also talks about the enforcing compliance of both private and public organizations. So my view is that there's general concern that in South Africa, we're a little bit behind in terms of regulating the protection of information, and in fact, even access, you know, facilitating access. And without overbearing this interview, I mean, I think all of us know, especially with the issue of access, sometimes it takes an elaborate process to get access to information, especially from organs of state. So I think the regulator has a serious challenge there that will have to strengthen the enforcement, the compliance, but at the same time, educate people about the importance of managing data properly.
Thank you very much, Chair. And we have just completed elections in South Africa, and there are different role players, observers, political parties who have access to data. And at the same time, digital campaigning is something that is here to stay. So it is important that personal data is used lawfully. Could you further elaborate on the statement that I've just given?
In fact, let me put it this way. Data has become the new gold. You know, in the past, we used to have gold as the most important thing. But we know that data now is becoming the new gold. People have sold data at the highest premium. So I think the advent of the Act, the POPIA Act, and the advent of the regulator becomes very important in regulating that information. I think we've realized some of the harm that has been caused by information sharing, and some of the things that have been said in social media and things that have been posted there. So I'm saying there's a serious challenge, and that makes the work of the regulator even more relevant and more necessary.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, Mr. Kwala.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nivot Strachans. Honorable Ramo Lubin.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Babu Kwala.
Good afternoon, Honorable Ramulonga.
Ramulobeng.
Yeah, Ramulobeng. I'm actually reading. Sorry, I'm actually reading there. I'm actually short-sighted, so, but I can read properly when I'm nearer. I normally wear glasses, but when I read without glasses. My apologies.
No problem. No offense. Take him. Bengithi isingene khona ngokubuza nje imibuzo a few. Do you believe that having data protection legislation can create new economic opportunities for South Africa?
Should I answer, or is there the next question coming?
No, you can answer. But...
Yes. No, I do. I think, the issue of data goes along with the issue of the new artificial intelligence and the new industrial revolution that is brought by technology. Because I think we've learned that with the advent, with the pandemic in South Africa, we have realized the importance of data, the importance of technology. And I'm saying going forward, that will be the new economy. And it's a new challenge. It has its own challenges. But I have no doubt that if you look around the world, I mean, billions and billions of exchange hands because of data and because of technology.
Okay. POPIA also extends to certain key responsibilities in respect of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, PIA, to the information regulator. In your own view, why is the right of access to information so important?
Well, I think both rights are enshrined in the Constitution, and I think that in itself demonstrates how important those rights are. I can just give you an example. You know, as a practicing attorney, for example, if you do a criminal matter, the defendant or the accused has a right to know what case the state has against them, for them to be able to prepare a proper defense. And that's why, for example, an accused person or the defense will be granted access to the contents of the docket or whatever evidence that the state will be relying on. So I'm saying that's why those two rights are very critical, because without knowledge, without information, sometimes you are poorer, you are left poorer. You can make decisions based on proper data and information that you have access to. So sometimes people do things because of lack of information. So information is very critical. And I think it's important that it needs to be regulated in the sense that you have to strike a very careful balance.
Okay, in that aspect, in the past years, a number of data breaches have occurred in which personal information of millions of South Africans have been released in the internet. Please explain how data protection laws can protect those millions of South Africans with their personal information not being shared.
I think the first thing is that we need to encourage people who, and the Act is very clear, that the people who have access to that data and who require that data for whatever reason, there has to be very strict protocols on how that information should be kept. And the Act actually obliges whoever has access to that information to make sure that that information is used lawfully and reasonably without violating the right of privacy of a person. So I think going forward, firstly, technology is very important in protecting the information of people. I can give you an example now, even though I don't have, I was not privy or firsthand knowledge, but the website of the Department of Justice, for an example, recently it was hacked. It was not operational for a period, I think if I'm not mistaken, 3 months, people could not get services from courts, master's office, and so on. So, which therefore emphasizes the point that anyone who keeps data or personal information of people needs to make sure that you strengthen the technology and make sure that people cannot easily access it. But also, the Act puts a responsibility to a person who possesses that information that he or she has a responsibility to make sure that there are no leaks of that information. And if there are leaks, obviously there are consequences.
Okay. As a member of the information regulator, you'll require leadership skills, but also be prepared to work with other members, accountable to the...
Sorry, Honorable Ramolopeng, your time is up.
Nyabonga Babugwala. Thank you, Chair.
Nyabonga.
Thank you very much. Honorable Jerry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Kwala.
My name is
Maseko Jele.
Good afternoon, Maseko Jele.
Yes, thank you very much for that. I have a few questions for you, see. The first one is that what would be the role of the regulator in maintaining balance between protecting citizens' personal data and ensuring their internet freedom? You have already covered something on the issue of social media, but I want you to elaborate on this one, the balance between the two.
Yeah. Yes, I think South Africa is a constitutional state. We have no choice, but I think we have experience of of being forced to strike a balance. You know, for an example, I mean, the Constitution talks about the Bill of Rights, but then you've got Section 36 of the Constitution that talks about limitations. Already there, it gives you guidelines on how you deal with the limitation. And I think the regulator will have to take from that, because at least that's the starting point. For an example, that access to information or denying people access to information, it should be consistent with an open society that respects the dignity and the quality and the freedom of our people. So what I'm saying is that there has to be, already the Act talks about it must be lawful, it must be reasonable, and I think it even goes further to say it must be necessary and relevant. Because you can't just take information which you're not going to use and you sit with it. And I think that's why in the past people ended up using that information as gold and selling it at a premium or selling it to advertisers. And that's why we end up getting calls from strange people, you know, selling stuff to us. So I'm saying the role of the regulator, I think firstly, we will take a cue from the Constitution itself, but I think the Act does attempt to identify areas that we need to look at in terms of trying to strike a balance. But obviously the implementation is always a challenge, and that's where we'll have to come up with clear protocols on how you strike a balance. For an example, you've got a right, you know, there's this general saying that you've got a right to swing your fist, but the right to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. So in short, what I'm saying, people need to understand that. You have a right to access to internet and so on, but you'll have to be responsible. Once you violate other people's rights, then you must be prepared to face the consequences.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then in your view, in your understanding, what are the challenges faced in accessing information in South Africa?
Firstly, I think, particularly in the state, because I've interacted quite a lot with the state, I think it's much more difficult with the state. It's much more prolonged. You know, I can give a practical example. I think a few years ago, there was an issue about the will. People were disputing the will, and we wanted to check the signatures of the client, and the client was a SASSA beneficiary. And we send information to SASSA asking for a file just to see how the deceased used to sign when he was accessing his pension and so on. And it took, if I'm not mistaken, it took almost a year to get that file. So I think that's the first challenge. With the private sector, you get a lot of people telling you that it's confidential or it's trade secrets and all that stuff. But I mean, we've been able to deal with those issues. For an example, I mean, even if a document can be confidential, it can still be released, especially, for example, in courts. Those documents have been released, but what you do, you then create protocols that, okay, we're giving you this confidential information, but you have a responsibility to make sure that it doesn't leak, but you must show us what measures are you going to take to make sure that that information does not leak and our trade secrets are not disclosed to our competitors. And that has happened in practice.
Thank you very much. The last question would be, you know that there is a history between an information regulator and also the South African Human Rights Commission. Yes, the South African Human Rights Commission seemed to have some concerns about the right of access to information, which according to them is not being fully or consistently realized. What is your view on that one? On the issue, especially how is the regulator will ensure that...
Honorable Jela, your time is up.
Okay, no problem. I think I'm covered in so many ways. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Gwala. My name is Werner Horn. I'm a member of this committee.
Good afternoon, Honorable Werner Horn.
My first question goes about the right to privacy
And yes, it is so that Poppy, of course, gives the information regulator certain authorities and a certain amount of authority and certain duties. But it's also so that some other pieces of legislation also deals with the way our right to privacy is being regulated. And in that sense, you would be aware that in the Amabungani case in February this year, the Constitutional Court determined that certain pieces of RICA, specifically the sections dealing with the process that is to be followed to get approval for communication surveillance, is unconstitutional, and now Parliament must fix this within 3 years from February. So I would want your advice to this committee as to how we should approach this, and given the fact that you, in preparation for this interview, looked at the role and the functions and the duties of the information regulator, do you see a possible role for the information regulator when we strengthen the legislation in respect of how the state should go about to get permission to do communication surveillance?
Yeah, I understand that, you know, when you deal with the state is quite a big animal, if I may put it that way. I know that, for an example, you will have a security organization within the state, which are supposed to have sufficient protocols or even provisions in the statute that found them and the regulation and the policies to make sure that the collection of intelligence or surveillance of citizens is done in a particular way. And I'm actually surprised. It's just that I haven't read the case to see what the court position was in arriving at that conclusion. But I think the information regulator comes in there because part of surveillance involves collection of data, involves collection of personal information data, because once you put somebody under surveillance, you monitor what he does, where he goes to church. And I think the Act also refers to some of those things, that there's a reason why some of those things cannot necessarily be disclosed easily to other people. But when you surveil a person, basically that person is bare naked, you know, because you are able to pick up a lot of things. And I think that's where the information regulator comes in, because partly involves collection of information. And I think we need to strengthen, well, I think the Act does go a long way. I must say, I mean, when I looked at the Act, it does go a long way in trying to anticipate those kinds of things. But I understand the challenges when you're dealing with organs, various organs of state, you know, especially the intelligence services. You know the problems, because most of the things that happened there are not in the public domain. You know,
yes.
And that's where the challenge, to pick them up is not easy. But in situations where those can be picked up, I think the information regulator can play a role in strengthening, you know, the regulation and even the policies around what should happen.
Okay, thank you. Then my second question, you talked a lot about your ability to add to the enforcement capabilities of the regulator if selected. And then also you put a bit of emphasis on the obligation on all, let's say, entities who deal with data gathering and information of others to manage that data properly. So maybe display how you have gone about it personally as part of the management of Dentons, what have you done in your firm in preparation for the full implementation of Poppy to ensure that you won't fall foul of any complaints, and in the events of complaints that you have a defense that would protect you from findings by the information regulator that you were negligent or didn't deal with the protection of information properly?
I think the first thing we've done, for example, is to allocate a partner to be responsible for that aspect. But also what we've done is to relook at all our policies and how we interact with clients and how we handle. Okay, let me put it this way. You know, as lawyers already, there are certain prescripts that enjoin us on how we handle a data of clients, for an example. And I think as a starting point, that helps because it's consistent with the Act, the POPIA Act. Now, for example, you can, the issue of privilege, you know, what the client tells you or what information the client tells you, you can't disclose unless with the consent of the client. The Act talks about consent, for an example. So what I'm saying is that we've had to relook at our policies as well, just to make sure that they comply with the POPIA Act, and also deals with protocols that how we go about handling clients' data and so on. So I would say, I know I might have not dealt with your question in detail, but I'm saying as lawyers already, there are so many acts or prescripts that enjoin us on how
Thank to you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Horn. Honorable Ngola.
Greetings, Mr. Kwala.
Greetings, Honorable Mr. Ngola.
Yes. Just a few questions. Mr. Kwala, what do you understand to be the role of the information regulator? And what are specific matters does the Act require the information regulator take into regard when performing its functions and powers?
I would say, look, Chapter 5 of the Act deals with the regulator extensively. I mean, the founding provision being Section 39. So I don't want to be technical and legalistic on how I deal with it, but I think the primary function of the regulator as specified in the Act is to basically ensure the protection of the personal information and at the same time strike a balance with access to information. So essentially the role of the regulator is to manage those two lines and to manage those two acts, PIA, you know, and POPIA. That's the first. And I mean, the Act then goes on to say how you go about doing that. You know, I looked at your strategic plan. I mean, it summarizes it very well. I mean, we talked about the legislative mandate and the constitutional mandate. The constitutional mandate, like I said, these are two rights enshrined in the Bill of Rights, and we are expected to strike, the information regulator is expected to strike a balance, a careful balance, and in managing those two rights, because they are quite clear. Then it goes to say, I mean, you also have to be proactive. I mean, education, awareness.
I've captured you, Mr. Gwala. The second question is, the POPIA requires the regulator to be impartial and independent. Why do you think that it is very important for the regulator to be impartial and independent?
I think it's the nature of the beast. And when I say the nature of the beast, when you are a regulator, you know, you have to regulate freely without prejudice, fear. Okay, let me put it this way. The common maxim that is used, regulate fairly without fear or favor or prejudice. So that's why the issue of independent, the issue of fairness becomes central, because once you are a regulator, you are more like an adjudicator at the end. I mean, when people have a dispute, will come to the regulator and they'll expect the regulator to make a decision in that respect. And you can only do so when you are fair and objective.
Okay, lastly,
the independent.
I'm sure you must be aware in November 2021 that there's long been a discussion within the state on the acceleration of the digital economy and the fourth industrial revolution. Do you believe that the regulator must be included in those discussions? And if the answer is on the affirmative, why so?
No, most definitely. I mean, the fourth industrial revolution involves the usage of data. That's why I said the new gold or the new oil. You know, in the past, where gold was the commodity, oil was the economic commodity, but I'm saying the new gold now or the new commodity is data. You know, with, like I said, you've seen organizations like Facebook who've made millions and millions of dollars and billions of dollars through data management. So it is, there's no doubt that the information regulator plays a critical role in those initiatives that deal with the fourth industrial.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bala. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Mr. Nguyen.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngola, Honorable Janje.
Thank you, Chair. A lot of the questions have been covered. I will just settle on one question, Chair, just as a closing for Mr. Gwala, Mfana Gwala. I want you to just give me a practical example of the kind of steps you would initiate to enhance community access to PAIA procedures. Currently, as we speak, we have a challenge in that regard. And I'm looking for a takeaway from you as to whether you can wrap your mind around what are the practical steps that you can sponsor here.
Yeah. Look, I think one of the steps is what we were talking about. I mean, now we're talking about technology. You know, technology is advancing. It makes it easier. Unlike in the past, you know, when you want a file, let me give you a practical example. You go to the master's office, you want a file, a deceased estate file. Somebody has to physically walk into a room and start searching files. And sometimes the file is not there. It's now stored elsewhere. Whereas if files were to be scanned and retained in the cloud, it becomes very easy, for an example, to facilitate access. You know, when you want information, somebody can just, once satisfied that you've satisfied all the protocols, can just send the file electronically to you. And fortunately, the Act acknowledges that is the future, and there has to be measures put in place to deal with that. So I'm saying that's the first point, because and then maybe the bureaucracy as well. And I know I'm talking about the state, but there is some kind of bureaucracy even in the private sector as well, but particularly in the state. I mean, the protocols that needs to be followed, they need to be short-circuited, basically, you know, to make sure that, in fact, the protocols should not be, because I think sometimes the way the protocols have been structured is to prevent access or to delay access. But I think the attitude should be, put protocols in place that will promote access without being enforced or compelled by the regulator to do so. You know, if you put measures, like I said, technology, you can scan the files. I know, for example, now we litigate in the Gauteng High Court, we use case lines. It makes things easy to access information. Whereas in the past, you needed to send a messenger in court to go and seek a file.
Okay.
So, are some of the practical steps that could be.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janje. I think every member has been able to ask his or her question. Mr. Kwa, do you think that the interviews were fair?
You mean this one?
This one, yes.
Yes, no, I think the interview was fair. It was fair.
Do you think the questions were fair?
The questions were fair and relevant, Chair.
Thank you very much. As you know, that the term of this information regulator is coming to an end by the end of this month, 30th of November. We will make our recommendations to the National Assembly, then the National Assembly make a decision. That decision will be transmitted to the president, who will make the appointments. So you and the public in general will know before the end of this month as to who is the new information regulator or who are the members of the new information regulator. But we'd like to thank you for making yourself available. We don't take this lightly because institutions are strong to the extent that good people apply and occupy those positions in those institutions. Thank you very much for making yourself available.
No, thank you, Chair. And I also want to extend my word of thanks for being shortlisted. I know there was a lot of people who applied for this, and the fact that I've made it this far, I appreciate it very much. I know that at the end of the day, it will be the decision of the president as to who becomes a member. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Kwala.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Romano, is Advocate Johannes Wipont on the line?
He is, Chair.
Okay. Ms. Advocate Wipont, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to the Honorable Members, and good afternoon to the Secretariat, Chair.
Thank you very much. I only have 5 minutes to interact with you, to ask questions and to extract responses. So please be brief in the questions that you are going to be asked. Please tell this committee why, in fact, what are your values, your experience, and why you believe that you should be appointed to be a member of the Information Regulator for the second time.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you for the guidance, Chair. Chair, basically, my values, Chair, are those, Chair, of transparency, Chair, my value, Chair, of professionalism and collegial, being collegial, also, Chair, being attentive and also, Chair, having the required integrity, Chair, to serve. The experience, Chair, basically relates to me being appointed as the designee for the protection of personal information, and that, Chair, occurred during the period 2016 to 2020, Chair, currently. I have extensive experience, Chair, over the 5 years that I've accumulated. Thank you, Chair, to this committee and the confidence that they've expressed in me to actually then process, Chair, and also partake in the establishment of the information regulator, ensuring, Chair, that we put the necessary processes in place, and also, Chair, ensure that the Act, together with your assistance, support, and help, was brought into effect, Chair. And Chair, I'm also grateful for the fact that I've also got experience in PAYA as well as POPIA, and recently, Chair, I've also acquired some experience with regards to the litigation processes that pertain to POPIA and PAYA. There was a judgment that was handed yesterday, Chair, pertaining to the promotion of access to information as far as the previous president's tax information and access to that information is concerned. So, Chair, there's valuable experience that I can bring in terms of governance relating to HR, also relating to the compliance and monitoring, as well as risk management. Those subcommittees or committees of the regulator I've chaired, and I've also, through the conference that was expressed by the members, as well as Advocate Pensi Tlakula, managed Chair for the past 5 years to ensure that there's stability and consistency in the execution of the mandate of the information regulator. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are you available to serve in a full-time or part-time capacity?
Chair, I'm available to serve in a full-time capacity as well as a part-time capacity as the committee may be, as the committee is pleased, Chair. But I'm definitely available, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Your preference?
Chair, I'd prefer to serve as a full-time member.
Thank you very much. In the information that you have disclosed, to the best of your ability, is it truthful?
Chair, I can agree that information is truthful and accurate and correct as far as my knowledge, Chair, and as far as I can recall, Chair, and as far as I've related the information to the Portfolio Committee, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything that you would want to take this committee into confidence about, which, if found, can put the reputation of the regulator or your reputation at risk?
Chair, no, Chair. It's just the issue, Chair, which was a previous incident, Chair, about my stay and work relationship at Barclays, where I've resigned, Chair, where there was some type of relationship breakdown, and that happened, Chair, Chair, about 10 years ago. And I have subsequently, Chair, left that opportunity and pursued the other opportunities indicated in my CV as well as the opportunity, Chair, at the Information Regulator, Chair, just to place it on record again, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. The issue of your credit record, the report from SSA says that you've got a 7,000 negative credit record on your Vodacom cell phone contract?
Thank you for bringing that to my attention, Chair. As far as I can recall and remember, I've never ever transacted with Vodacom in any capacity, Chair. But what I'll also do is to provide the committee with some feedback. I'll consult with Vodacom, but as far as my knowledge can, and as far as I can remember, Chair, I've never ever transacted with Vodacom in any way, Chair. I've never had any contract and I've never had any transaction that I've processed with Vodacom, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I have Honorable Ngola. Honorable Ngola, can you proceed with your questions?
Thanks, Chair. my name is Tola Ngola. I'm the member of the committee. Good afternoon, Advocate Wipon.
Good afternoon, Honorable Ngola.
Yeah, because we are part of the outgoing team of the regulator. So I want to ask you the questions about the roles and the issues required by POPIA. I ask that you are in the country.
Yes, Honorable Ngola, I'm in Johannesburg, sir.
Okay, just in your neighborhood there in Pretoria High Court yesterday. The High Court there took a decision or made a ruling against the South African Revenue Services that it must release tax records of a particular taxpayer, but I won't mention the name, to Amabungane and Financial Mail. That in actual fact means those tax records being handed over to media, they are actually being made public. Now, there is a discussion in the country since that a ruling of the High Court, that there is actually a conflict between the promotion of access to information and the Protection of Personal Information Act. Do you believe that there is a conflict between POPIA and POPIA? If yes, how do we then strike a balance between the two very important acts?
Thank you so much, Honorable Ngwala, for the interesting question. Yes, of course, I'm aware of the judgment that was handed down in favor of Amabungane and the Financial Mail. It is very important to stipulate at this point that I've not studied the judgment in its entirety, but basically it confirms that in the public interest, the personal information pertaining to the tax record of the person in question has been provided for in the judgment to be made available to Amabungane as well as the financial mail. So if you look at the application and interpretation of the Protection of Personal Information Act, you will then find that there are what we would call a requirement where we are, in terms of Section 3, required to balance the protection of personal information against that of access to information. In this instance, the courts found that in the public interest, those documents should be made available. So it means that the public interest outweighs the right of the person in question in terms of his records being kept and being held as private records. And what is also very important about this is that there will always be a conflict between those the access to information in terms of Section 32 and privacy as far as the protection of personal information is related in terms of Section 14. But those conflicts or tensions that might arise will be interpreted on a case-by-case basis pertaining to that specific context. And what the regulator in this instance also did was to file a notice to abide so that it also then understands the court's understanding of the of these two conflicts. But what is also key to this is the fact that the information regulator has, as far as now, that's the second judgment or third, I think, where there is some form of jurisprudence that is created about personal information and then access to information. But in terms of this specific case, it's the first. And those tensions and conflicts must be understood and must be interpreted in the specific context that they occur.
Okay, we have captured it. The last question, Chair. I look at the point, I'm quite sure that you must be aware that there's long been discussions in the country on the investment on digital economy and the fourth industrial revolution. Do you believe that the information regulator was included in those discussions? And if the answer is in the affirmative, answer.
Thank you so much, Honorable Banwala, and my apologies for again mentioning that it's quite an interesting and a very progressive question. Yes, there is a mention of the fourth industrial revolution, or 4IR in short. The regulator has been included in some of those discussions as far as policy directives are concerned. I represented the information regulator on the request of the chairperson and members at the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, and also some of overseas experts that wanted to engage on these instances. Key and very important to this is also the issue of cloud and the data and cloud policy, which is in the process of being developed. And those mechanisms are then referred to as one that needs to take into account how data protection or the protection of personal information in the context of South Africa will be appreciated, will also be incorporated, and also ensure that there is a recognition for the processing of personal information in this regard. Key to this would also be the fact that the information regulator has participated on its own with some of its counterparts like the ICO and various other initiatives with regards to, and this happened on the CTN, Common Thread Network, where issues of the 4IR were uplifted, discussed and referred to, also in certain position papers and documents. So I think that there is some understanding and inclusion of the information regulator, but not, Honorable Ngwala, to the full extent that the information regulator should be included and should play a role. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngoda. Honorable Vernahon.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Weapon.
Good afternoon, Honorable Owen.
Mr. Weapon, my first question is on the right to privacy, which of course is one of the focus areas of POPI and the information regulator, but it's not the only legislation in our country which deals with that balancing between other rights and our rights to privacy. And so I want to refer you to the Amabungani case, in which the Constitutional Court found certain sections of RICA unconstitutional in February, and specifically the sections that deals with the process that is to be followed to get permission for communication surveillance. And now Parliament has 3 years starting February to update or fix these deficiencies in RICA. So I want to, with your experience, get some advice from you as to what we should consider doing to strengthen the regulatory framework again around that process. But secondly, I want to ask you whether you believe that if we are updating the legislation, any additional duties or authority should be afforded to the information regulator in this regard.
Thank you so much, Honorable Wong. I think what is very important, and this is just my view, it's there might be a disjuncture to a certain extent or not a failure to interconnect legislation. And that can be found in that judgment that Honorable Wong referred to. And I also made some comments, I think it was on Power FM after the judgment came out, with regards to the sections that were found to be unconstitutional on the RICA side. But what is also very important specifically is that the rights of the person who will be put under surveillance who came then into questions and sharp focus, specifically the fact that he or she before that process is undertaken is not let known, and after this process has been undertaken was not notified of those surveillance activities. And then also the issue of mass surveillance then also was brought to the fore. So for me, what is also very important about this is the fact that surveillance in public instances, which now relates to public areas, which also relates now to areas where people, in terms of certain judgments or constitutional court rulings, there was an assertion to say, as far as you move away from your house or your private space, you now enter into a space where you don't enjoy the full extent of your rights. So if you look at that, there's a direct impact and bearing of such positions on the information regulator as far as one's right to privacy in public should be appreciated. And this also relates to what I would call the cameras that are being put up by Vumacam that collects information, personal information in public spaces. And I think there's an opportunity, Honorable Wong, in the framework that needs to be enhanced to the extent that the regulator must also then have some powers in fact, and also there must be some context. And this also relates to how personal information is being processed, taking into account the new technologies. There can be over-processing of personal information by using these cameras and by also using and collecting information of people in public spaces. And that also pertains to them not being notified of the fact that the information has been collected. And one of the things that the ICO has done was to put up notices to say, whenever you collect personal information of data subjects in public spaces, you must ensure that there is a board or some notification that informs those people who are in those public spaces about the fact that their information are being collected. So I think that that also relates and connects with the surveillance or mass surveillance that was referred and related to in Amabungani case. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. My second question is around your current responsibilities. I see that you're the chair of the risk committee of the information regulator. Is that correct?
Honorable one, that's correct, sir.
Okay. So I want to hear from you. We know that from previous engagements between this committee and the information regulator that you, your own website was housed by the website of the department. So did you firstly identify this as a risk in the run-up to the breach that the department suffered? And secondly, in your assessment, what as the risk manager, what needs to happen, both in terms of the information regulator and the department, to prevent the type of breach or hacking that we've seen now most recently from reoccurring?
Honorable Horn, your time is up.
Thank you, Chair.
Maybe to be fair to the candidate, you can give him half a minute to respond.
Thank you for your grace, Chair. Chair, yes, the risk was identified, Chair, and that risk, Chair, was then also related to, in a legal context, the Department of Justice, a operator in terms of our act, and if they do, then they are deemed to be a service provider, and what mechanisms and SLA should be put in place. Then lastly, Chair, Honorable Warren, it's very important to note that future, the regulator should separate. Alternatively, the systems of the department should be strengthened, take into account the vulnerabilities. A full vulnerability assessment should be done, and the gaps should then be also be looked at, and there must be proper mitigation measures put forward. And Section 19.2 of POPIA also requires that some processing risks must be identified, monitored, and updated. I'll stop there, Chair, so that I don't take too much time up. But thank you so much for the question, Honorable One.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn. Honorable Glenis Breitenbach.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and good afternoon, Mr. Whippen.
Good afternoon, Honourable Breitenbach.
I'd like to continue with a question of Honourable Horn about the Department of Justice website being hacked and you being the chair of the risk committee and having identified this as a risk. When the department was hacked, was it reported to the information regulator as it should have been? And did you get the type of cooperation that you needed in order to enable you to properly investigate and deal with this breach? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Warren. A very interesting question you're putting me on the spot. Yes, indeed, Honorable Warren. The regulator found out, and Honorable Warren would know through the media reports, that the self-reporting did not occur as expected in terms of Section 22 of POPIA. But what happened subsequently is that there were discussions between the information regulator and the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is also then, we wrote to them in terms of us inquiring about the extent of the data breach and the impact on the systems and the operations of the department, and also if the information regulator was affected and to what extent. So those communications happened, and there was then also a request from the information regulator to say that a full vulnerability assessment must be undertaken, and there must also be additional security measures proposed and in the interim, as well as after that process has been completed, must be implemented and must be monitored, and the regulator must be provided with a report as such.
Thank you, Mr. Whippen. And has the regulator been provided with such a report, A? And B, were you able to ascertain, as the information regulator, how much personal information and the nature thereof of South Africans was compromised in this breach?
Thank you, Honorable One. At this stage, we have not received the report that the information regulator has also alluded to. And secondly, we are still unsure about the extent and the impact of the data breach. And I believe that as soon as the Department of Justice has completed their investigation, they will then be able to engage with the information regulator in this regard. But as it stands, I'm not too sure if the department knows the extent and the impact of the data breach, but we also don't have the full set of information that we've required and referred to in our correspondence with the department.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach, Honorable Jala.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Ms. Advocate Weapon.
Good afternoon, Honorable Jala.
Yes. Advocate, one of the concerns of South African Human Rights Commission is that of access, that the right of access to information is not being fully or consistently realized. So in your view, I want you to tell us how can the information regulator ensure that there is improved compliance with PAIA legislation?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chele, for the question. I do agree and I share your view that the rights access to information, rights to pertaining to access information is not being fully realized. And one of the key aspects that the Act, the promotion of access to information refers to is the fact that this advantage communities must be provided with a necessary education. And I must admit, because that function was only recently transferred to the information regulator, that we are still working on a strategy so that we can then also have inclusive realization of the rights of those people who are disadvantaged, especially in rural areas. And one of the exercises on the POPIA side that we've undertaken was education, especially in the context of the Black Sesh Trust versus the Minister of Social Development, where there was abuse of people's personal information. And we've went as far as CapCut in the Eastern Cape to educate our communities and also ensure that they have the correct information, obviously in the local languages, being a Xhosa speaking community, and me also having a little bit of Xhosa. But I do agree that we need to then also ensure that we do the same for PAIA, and that we also have a program to roll this out so that we can realize the right of access to information, particular to vulnerable groups, as well as disadvantaged and previously disadvantaged groups.
Okay, thank you. So the second one is that what role the regulator have in maintaining balance between protecting citizens' personal data and ensuring their internet freedom?
Thank you so much. Honorable Chele, when we look at protection, there are 8 conditions that we rely on that should ensure that protection happens. On the internet side, we need to educate our communities and our data subjects and also the community at large about the dangers of releasing your personal information on internet platforms that could then cause you to a certain extent be vulnerable. And what is also very important, Honorable Chele, is that in the one platform you release information and you go to another internet platform and you release another portion of your information, because of this interconnectedness of the systems that are being used sometimes and these algorithms that are being used on the internet, there is a danger that your information, your personal information, can be connected. And we also know that if you do searches on the internet about or if you request from a certain service provider information about retail information or sales, and then you'd see that your profile or your internet activities would then consist of all those information types that you have browsed, perused. And that then is also a danger that we need to speak to. And one of the things that we've done with the vice president of Google at the time when we took office was to talk about the balance and also the dangers. And we also then understood that their concern was innovation, but not at expense of compromising the personal information of data subjects of South Africans.
Thank you very much. The last one, Advocate Repun, is in your understanding, what are the challenges faced in accessing information in South Africa?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chele. The one danger is and I'm sorry to use this as an example, people who are not fully literate and don't understand their rights, and then they want to request information, but they fail to do so because they don't know how to go about to access their information. The others would be a total misunderstanding about the mechanisms that you can use to access information. And then there's a third category for me, which is also very sad, is the one of potential abuse by these responsible parties. And these companies that hold the information and they blatantly refuse or give stupendous reasons or the reasons that does not make sense to prevent people from accessing the type of information they require so that they can then consider steps to take against a specific company.
Thank you very much, Advocate Wepon. Thank you, Chair. That was the last one.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chale, Honorable Ramolobe.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Advocate Johannes.
Good afternoon, Honorable
Ramolobeng.
Ramolobeng, I'm so sorry for the internet pronunciation.
It's okay. My surname is quite tricky. I've learned to accept it.
Okay, indeed.
Are you okay, Advocate?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Honorable Ramabai.
Okay. In the past years, a number of data breaches have occurred in which personal information of millions of South Africans was released into the internet. Please explain how the data protection laws can protect those millions of South Africans' personal information on data subjects.
Thank you so much for the question, Honorable Ramabuleng. Yes, the DRACO one is the biggest one that we have come to know. And then it was also then followed by the Experian data breach, where a file, I think it's in excess of 27 gigs, was released. And that specific file contained personal information of active South Africans over 20 million. And what also then subsequently happened with this specific Experian data breach is that that same file, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, were surfaced months and months after the data breach occurred on the Telegram platform. And this is very sad news. But what the information regulator can do is to use its powers to conduct an assessment or to conduct a full investigation. And also there are remedies, especially for data subjects, specifically Section 99, that confirms that a data subject can institute civil action and the regulator can join in that so that they can ensure that there's an outcome which would then provide for some type of recourse or some type of what I can use as the word is actually evading me, some type of reproach as well as some type of compensation in some instances where there was a failure by the responsible party or there was some negligence that can be proven. But what is also very important is that Section 107 of POPIA provides specifically that any information that is breached, there is two criminal sanctions. One criminal sanction and one civil, one penalty, civil actually. So we found that there is a fine of up to 10 million. There's also imprisonment of up to 10 years. Obviously, the imprisonment part is the NPA processes and investigation by the SEPs together with the information regulator, but the fine specifically can be determined of up to 10 million by the information regulator. It can be a combination of both processes. And then lastly, it's also the fact that the information regulator can also provide for what we would call in our language a notice, what we call an enforcement notice, where there was non-compliance and a data breach occurred. And that actually speaks to the responsible party being requested to remedy the situation within a specific time, taking the direction and guidance from the information regulator as per the stipulations in the enforcement notice. Thank you.
Okay, quite elaborate. Do you believe that having data protection legislation can create new economic opportunities for South Africans? Please elaborate.
Thank you so much. Yes, I do believe that it can, because it's part of the 4IR focus that Honorable Ngwala referred to. So what happens here is that cyber crime and cyber attacks, we know it's quite a big area which needs research, needs innovation around security measures. It also needs new skills, and it also then creates a new opportunity and a new direction, especially for the youth as part of new skills and new career paths. And that in itself, I believe, Honorable Ramoblane, will create that type of economic opportunities that you are referring to.
Okay. POPIA also extends to certain key responsibilities in respect of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, PIA, to the information regulator. In your own view, why is it the right of access to information so important?
Honorable Rao Blani, the right to access to information particularly is important because we know, taking into account the history and the secrecy that prevailed during the previous administrations in the apartheid regime, then left people vulnerable. And it's against that backdrop and context and history that we share that the country's constitution then specifically reaffirmed in Section 32 that specific right of access to information, specifically for the fact that people can also be then able to make decisions. As an example, if you go to your local municipality and you want to access certain information and they refuse, that then impacts on your ability to question, for instance, service delivery, as well as opportunities in terms of tenders that might or could exist, or even for you to have knowledge about the programs and the financial spend of a specific municipality or company that is supposed to provide such information in the interest of transparency, but also to ensure that people can make informed decisions or take informed decisions. We also know that there's a big issue with regards to environmental impact assessments, especially when companies start now to roll their operations out in the mining industry, etc., and people would want to have access to those environmental impact assessment reports so that they can then also understand how the assessment was conducted and what's the outcome, and if there were any problems, so that they can then challenge those if there was any unfairness in those processes. So I do think that access to information plays an important role in people realizing not only their right in, to access to information, but other rights that are connected to whatever cause they fight or want to pursue.
Thank you so much, Advocate Wiepont. Chair, thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Tanji.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And good afternoon, Mr. Whipple. Now, the process for accessing information as set out in the PAIA is said to be very cumbersome and tedious. Do you agree?
Yes, yes, Honorable Chankis, I do agree.
Do you agree?
Honorable Chankis, the barrier is the fact that the people who want to follow a process to access information would have to start, obviously, at the company, and they have to fill in certain records. And if you are from a disadvantaged background and you don't have the necessary literacy skills, and then already it's a disadvantage for you because you need to have some form of a record, but there's also then the fact that you can assist.
Pause there. Thank you. Pause there. Since you are a regulator currently, can you share just one example of what you have come across in this regard, if any?
Thank you so much, Honorable Jankis, but you'd also appreciate that we took over the function since July. One that we have come across in the complaint section is the one that refers specifically to the fact that people wanting to access information, but these are literate people, and then the company then refuses to grant them access to the specific information, but the grounds or the reasons that the company provides is frivolous.
Thank you. Let's go, Mr. Wilton. Can you share with the panel any steps you would initiate, practical steps you would initiate to enhance community access to PAIA procedures?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Honorable Chankis. Very importantly, so with regards to writing, the information regulators then agree that a record, maybe where a phone call was made, can also be relied on. What we've done, we've also then broadened that scope to say that email can also assist, so that we just provide for a lot on a host of mechanisms by way of in a manner in which people can now start to try to evade these cumbersomeness, if I can use the word, but also very importantly, the information regulator is also looking at other opportunities, for instance, of engaging, for instance, responsible parties and creating education and awareness, but also trying through notices that it will release from time to time to ensure that people who are affected can have different avenues and opportunities.
Let's pause there. Thank you, Mr. Wilton. Thank you, Chair.
I'll stop there, Honorable Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm still trying to change gadgets. Our electricity is now back. Is there any member who has not asked his or her question?
Yes, Chairperson, woman here, Drukhan, you left me out.
My apologies, Dr. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Weapon. I'm Wilmani Ojuchen. I use South African Sign Language. The voice you are hearing is the voice of my sign language interpreter, Trudy. Mr. Weapon, as your term is coming to a close this year, you've experienced COVID and lockdown. What did the information regulator learn from this time? And at the same time, there's a lot of concerns with regard to privacy, data protection, and compliance concerns when it comes to COVID-19. What are some of the issues that you identified in respect of the COVID pandemic in terms of all of these things?
Good afternoon, Honorable Krachens. I'm not too sure. The first one is the fact that there were an increased number of data breaches that occurred And that is worrisome to the information regulator, but it's consistent with other jurisdictions where they have commenced or their respective legislations have become active or effective, and they then also suffered an increased number of data breaches. So it's consistent with that, but it's a huge concern to the information regulator. The second thing is because of the remote work that is being pursued, there's a lot of abuse or misuse of information. We've learned about people that are not supposed to be on a specific platform like Zoom or MS Teams that manage to access that platform in breach or in contravention of POPIA, because they then without the necessary authority accessed a platform which was intended for a specific purpose without the necessary consent. There's also a lot of that we could see issues around consent with regards to data breaches. How people in general would consent to the processing of their information. Specifically, that would be the healthcare healthcare workers, as well as the data subjects who from time to time information has been merged on databases for the purposes of processing the COVID vaccine program or to roll out that specific program. But we also, and it's not confirmed, you know, that a lot of people were left behind who didn't have the necessary technology to participate in remote or in these type of spaces. And that also disadvantage them further from understanding and realizing their rights, especially when we had webinars. We couldn't reach our previously disadvantaged people and we couldn't actually go to them because we functioned on these platforms like Zoom, et cetera. So those were some of the key aspects that we've taken a lesson on and that we intend to improve on and devise some means and mechanisms to bridge that gap.
Thank you. Just one quick question. During the local government elections, many people, you know, had their personal data, or many people were in the possession of other people's personal data. How will the information regulator work with the IEC to make sure that people's personal information is protected?
Thank you so much, Honorable Grahans, for that question. So one of the ways, long before the local government elections occurred, we've also pleaded and asked for a reduction in the type and kind of information that is contained in the voters' roll so that we minimize the exposure, but also to comply with the principle of minimality, to say, please only collect the bare minimum information and not have excessive collection by collecting information that would not actually be needed. And one of the debates that occurred was, should we use a full ID or a redacted version of the ID? So that was one of the ways. The second thing is continuous engagements with the IEC. The third was to release a guidance note that refers to the processing of personal information of voters by a political party, and that intended to school our communities at large, but also to provide political parties with some guidance when they do process the personal information of data subjects, rightfully so for campaigning purposes, etc. But we've also held discussions with various political parties who wanted guidance or who seek some type of advice, if I can use it, in the instance and of providing education to our political party stakeholders. But the conversations and discussions with IEC is ongoing. But there were also amendments to the Electoral Act. Thank you.
Your time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Whippen.
Thank you very much. So is there any member that I've left out? Advocate report. Did you find this interview to be fair?
Thank you so much, Chair. More than fair, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Did you find the questions to be fair?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. As you know that your term of office is coming to an end at the end of this month. So as the committee, we will make recommendations to the National Assembly, who will vote and transmit its decision to the National President, to the President, and the President will make the appointments. But I can assure you the nation will know who will be the next members of the information regulator by the end of this month. In fact, before the end of this month, because on the 30th, your term comes to an end. On the 1st, we should be having a new information regulator. But we would like to thank you for availing yourself. We don't take it lightly that people like yourselves have made themselves available. It makes us very excited, because the more we have quality people who made themselves available, the better it is for us to choose the best people to run the institutions.
Chair, thank you so much. And thank you, Chair, to you and the committee, and also for the opportunity that you've provided, Chair. And once again, my sincere apology to Honorable Rama Boleng for pronouncing his name incorrectly, Chair.
I'm also trying to learn how to pronounce it properly. So he has promised to give me extra lessons.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye to the committee and the honorable members.
Thank you very much. Members, that brings us to the end of the interviews. Do we want to start with the discussions now, or do we want a comfort break for at least 15 minutes, then we can start with the discussions?
Comfort break.
Comfort break, please.
How long? 15 minutes, is it okay?
That's fine, thanks.
Thank you, let's come back at 4:30. It's now 4:30. Honorable Jale, Honorable Mwala, are those new hands or legacy hands?
Old, sorry.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much for the interviews. They were long, but we made them that we will keep them focused and very diligently. You have applied yourself. You have maintained the integrity of the process. Thank you very much. We have now come to the end of the interviews. Can we now open space for discussions? Honorable Janji, followed by Honorable Brendan Breitenbach.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me start by thanking you as our chairperson for leading these interviews from 9:30 up until now in a very professional manner. Respectable, but also appropriate on the kind of issues that we want to get out of that. To also thank the members for this diligent work that we have done for today. Chair, having been part of the interviews, the eight members that came in front of us today, I think it's proper to make some few reflections and even share some ideas, Chair. Certainly, I think in the course of the day, it became clear to me that the picture I'm having of these interviews is a theme of continuity and change. because quite clearly it was so visible that the members who were incumbents who would have been there before, they demonstrated, in my view, they applied themselves to the question. Others would have wanted to speak nonstop. Once you allow them to speak, you just feel like this person is switched on. Until you switch him off, he's not going to stop. that would have been so with Struom, Advocate Struom. It would be the same with Weipont, with a very measured and very calculative current chairperson in those interviews. So that's why I'm calling it continuity and change, because in my own way, I thought that if you're looking for the top three, they just chose themselves in their performance in this interview with a very solid, stable, pioneering advocate, Phensi Hlakula, in my book. And with her, I was helped by Mr. Van Rooyen, because Mr. Van Rooyen in his interview was actually punting for Advocate Hlakula to be the chair again. He repeated that several times. And at some point I thought, I wanted to ask him, does he not want to be the chair? Because he was busy saying, this chairperson must repeat, and so on. So I think Advocate Phensi Hlakula stands out, and I would have no problem for us to recommend her again to chair this information regulator. And from there, Advocate Struom was very knowledgeable, articulate, answers questions adequately. So would come next, and with the last one, Mr. Weipont, who seems to be really having a handle on these issues. I think somebody like that must be given another chance. and after those three, then it became with the newbies. I was quite impressed with the solidness and authoritative nature in law of Mr. Mfana Gwala. And immediately next to him, Mr. Van Rooyen impressed me a great deal as the next after Mr. Gwala. Then you would have Mr. Pillay, but I must say the first candidate did not really do well. In fact, at the end, she would have wanted to blackmail us in suggesting that we must consider youth quotas. And that's when I switched off. Because I think at that point she knew that she did not do well in the interview. So that would be my take, Chair, because I think the issue here, why I'm using continuity and change, is that you'd want to build some succession planning here. It might not be possible in the next term to have Advocate Phensi Hlakula being there given her age. And it might be important that we infuse younger people together with that age. And much as I was very much attracted to Mr. Van Rooyen, because he is my candidate from these interviews, but I was kind of the age made me to pull back a bit in that regard. Hence, I scored him immediately after Mr. Mfana Gwala. So that's my first take, Chair. Let me just pause there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janshi. Honorable Janus Breitenbach.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And let me echo the sentiments of Honourable Janki of a well-chaired session. Thank you. Honourable Chair, I agree that continuity is a desirable thing. Continuity and consistency is very important. And for that reason, I would support the return of Advocate Tlakula. And Ms. Strom, I thought, did very well. And also for the sake of continuity, I think we should return her. I thought that Mr. Pillay did exceptionally well. He's young, this is his field. This is the work that he does. So I would support Mr. Pillay. I thought Mr. Gwala did very well, and I would support Mr. Gwala. If we're looking for an injection of new, young, clearly competent blood, then I would support Pillay and Gwala. If we're looking to return people for the sake of continuity and consistency, then either Pillay or Gwala should give way to, I suppose, Mr. Whippend. And those would be my choices, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, colleagues. Maybe the mistake I did was not to ask people to specify that as members. I think we must be able to say this one must be considered for full-time, this one for part-time, because there are people like, for instance, Mr. Gwala, who was very clear that he wants to be part-time. Mr. Pillay wanted both, part-time and full-time. And then others, I think the chair wanted full-time. Ms. Strone wanted full-time. When pressed, Advocate Whippend indicated full-time, but subject to what the committee says. Mr. Van Rooyen, Professor Van Rooyen, I think also said full-time. Yeah, I said full-time. But it depends on what the committee decides to do. If I would open for other views, other hands, Honorable Jale.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think before one can proceed with supporting the view on the matters, which I really support my colleagues with those names that they came with. But can you also, Chairperson, remind us, just to refresh us, how many full-time, how many part-time?
I think we need three full-time and one part-time, because we already have another part-time, Ms. Tilly. We need three full-times here and one part-time.
Okay. So I think the first three, now we have to choose between Mr. Pillay and Mr. Gwala. The first three that Mr. Genji came with, obviously I support Honorable Breitenbach. Also, the first one, obviously, it will be our chair, retain Mam Tlakula. And then also the second one, Chair Advocate Lebohang. Is it Ms. Strom, Mrs. Strom? What?
Yes, you know that? Yes, Advocate Strom.
Yes, I support that name also for full time. The third one, I also thought that Mr. Whippend, Advocate Whippend, did very well. And he wants full time, eh?
Yes.
Because, yes. But Chairperson, Mr. Gwala, according to my my view, is that must take this part time, because on Mr. Pulay, is I also agree that he's very good. He's very knowledgeable in that subject. I think I will listen to the group as to number three in this full time, if maybe there's somebody who's going to also support the issue, the name of, because here I've got Mr. Weapon, I've got Mam Tracula Chair, Sisle Buhang number two, and then I have these two ones for that full time position. But I leave Mr. Gwala here part time.
So, sorry, Honorable Charlie. You're saying Mamu Takula as chair, full-time, yes. Advocate Swom as full-time, Advocate Weapon, yes. Full-time. Those are the three.
They and tie. Those tie. So I'll listen to the committee, which one they go with. Yes. And that's why I decided to raise Mr. Pillay to go to full-time. Because remember, Mr. Gwala made it clear that he would want to be on the part-time. Mr. Pillay had those two choices. So I'm saying I'm going to leave this to the committee, to other members of the committee. But on the third person, I have two names, those names. Mr. Pillay and Mr. Weapon.
Okay. Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you. Chair, I think there is a broad agreement, if I listen correctly, because that's in fact also my view, that we must ultimately support a decision to return Ms. Lakula as the chair and a full-time member, as well as Ms. Strom Zama. I agree with the Honorable Breitenbach that if we are looking to a strong component in terms of continuity, that Mr. Weapon certainly didn't disqualify himself through his interview. And then in respect of other members, I have to say, Chair, that what impressed me mightily about Mr. Pillay ultimately is that he had more than a theoretical knowledge about compliance with the necessary legislation. And in that sense, I think he could definitely add value to the information regulator, because he will be able to enrich whatever processes still is to be developed from having served successfully, it would seem, and having qualified as a compliance officer. So I don't want to downplay the merits of anybody else. It is so that Mr. Gwala, from a strictly, let's say, legal perspective, had all of the right answers, but it was also quite clear that he did not have the same hands-on experience than Mr. Pillay. And for me, ultimately, that would be, for me, the tiebreaker between the two. And I would think from that perspective, Mr. Pillay must be our choice, even if as a part-time member, because remember, while he said he is available full-time and part-time, I think the clear impression I had was that full-time would also, to an extent, be dependent on other factors, and given the fact that he has other, let's say, other employment as well at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mola.
Well, thanks, Chair. I think our honorable colleague, firstly, who committed to re I just forgot the surname.
Our committee member that has just arrived.
Omekomoso Ramolobeng.
Yeah, Che. I think I understand that she may not have been exposed too much in this kind of environment. We have been through this since 2019, Tina. So we've got a glimpse of what are is the important issues. I think she wasted a lot of time on impilo, as a result, in some of the instances, some of the candidates, she fell short of the questions and answers because she took too much time on how are you? Are you okay? Are you fine? And all those things. But it's a it's a learning curve, Chair. It's a learning curve. I'm sure she has taken note now. Where you just say greetings and more because 5 minutes is very minimal. I think, Chair, we are operating on the same footing. It was most of the things the honorable members, starting from Honorable Kyanki, Breitenbach, Masego Jele, are covering most of what I've seen during the interview process. In that Advocate Pinsi Hlakola, full-time chair, other full-time information regulator members, Wipond and Strong. But I wish you would remind me, Chair, how many full-time and how many part-time?
We need to have 3 full-time and 1 part-time.
The 3,
but just to be 100% sure, so that we also get guidance from our technical side, Ms. Silkstone and Mr. Bonani.
Chairperson, we have the chairperson must be appointed in a full-time capacity. They must serve in a full-time capacity, and then we must have the two full-time members. So at the moment we're looking for 3 positions in a full-time capacity, one of which is the chairperson full-time, and then 2 other ordinary members in a full-time capacity. So yeah, and then 1 person in a part-time capacity. Is that clear?
Yeah, so it's 3 full-time and 1 part-time.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
thank you. So I think we're in consensus on the 3 full-time members of the regulator. We are left now with 1 part-time chair, which in my view, Mfana Gwala, followed by a play, in my view. I share the same sentiments with other honorable members. But I think for a change process, can we infuse Mfana Gwala as the 4th part-time member of the regulator, Chair, as part of conforming to what has been raised by other honorable members of continuity and change. So that we're able to bring new energy, bring new ideas, bring new wisdom. So that we're able to build a second layer leadership that is going to be able to inherit and move forward with the regulator. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mola, Honorable Ramolobeng. Yay.
Sorry,
Chief. It felt really very simple, Mare, when you have to pronounce it. Yer. Yer. Ramolobeng.
Oh, Chair.
I tried to practice it during the interviews, but. we're going to pay you for extra lessons.
As someone who comes from Gauteng, I thought it would be easy.
than those coming from rural villages. But I think, no offense taken, Chair.
Maybe Chair, just to help you, it's M-U and L-U. Just pronounce it as if you're writing U. It's going to be easy.
Ramulubeng.
For the Tossers, that's the only way you can catch it.
Yeah, no. A good trick.
Chair, in agreeing with what Honorable Kola was saying, that I see most of the colleagues in the portfolio committee are abreast on issues, especially with regards to the interviews that we've conducted since in the morning. And since I've just recently joined the committee, catching up, it's not on the pace that I thought it would be, but slowly I would catch up.
Paula always speaks like that, man. He did very
No harm intended. I wanted to even raise it to say I note the advice and it's taken. Chair, let me join those that would echo their preferences in terms of the interviews that we've just gone through. I would agree that on the three full-time candidates, the chair, Advocate Pansing Akula.
Oh, the first. Square, at least square. Now we are together. It's Akula.
It's Akula.
Now we are together.
to be retained, that's the first name. The second one is Advocate Strom, to be the second full-time name. The third full-time name, I would go with Advocate Weepon, but I'm quite cautious on the matter that relates to the Vodacom issue that you happen to raise, that vetting has came across. I don't know how this matter would be resolved, but he was quite knowledgeable and knows almost all. I was quite impressed with how he elaborates and codes the sections without even going through his notes and so forth. So for me, he knows everything about information regulators. So I don't know how to go about this, but he becomes my preference for the third full-time person once this matter is sorted out. And on the part-time, I would go with Mr. Kwala. For me, he was very assertive, very straight to the point, understands the act. So I'm quite convinced on him to be a part-time person. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable KJ, I think that is the safest one. When we tried to make follow-ups, seemingly he was also a victim of a cell phone, card cloning. Because he has no Vodacom cell phone number. Seemingly, according to the information we have, somebody used his details to have a contract with Vodacom, which is still under investigation. Honorable Newport Stephens.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I don't want to repeat and keep it long, but I do strongly support continuity. So I would support the three incumbents to remain. I'll leave it to the interpreter to pronounce Advocate Lakula's name. And then Advocate Scrum and Advocate Weapon, keep them as full-time. And hoping that during this time that a succession plan will be created. And then part-time, I'm also looking at maturity. So Mfana Kwala as part-time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Jelle, is it a second hand or a legacy hand?
No, Chair, my mistake. Thank you. Sorry, apologies.
Thank you. Now, would I be correct to say there is sufficient consensus on Advocate Pensi Kakula as chair? There's sufficient consensus on Advocate Strom, Lebohang Strom, as full-time commissioner. There is a majority view on Advocate Weepond as full-time commissioner, and there is a majority view on Mr. Gwala as part-time commissioner, and then there is a minority view that rates Mr. Pillay just below Mr. Gwala, but we have to have four, which is three commissioner plus one. Is that the correct analysis of the discussions of the meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Can we agree that the report will be written to reflect as such?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, again, I mean, I don't take your cooperation and your hard work lightly. Justice is one of those committees that is forever working. There is no break. There's no load reduction. There's no load shedding in terms of the amount of work. But you are always forever energetic, committed, apply yourself diligently. I can safely say that you are the type of public representatives that South Africans should be proud of across political lines. Thank you very much, members. Let's meet tomorrow. What time, Bonan?
Chair, Honorable Wilma has a hand up.
Honorable Newport Jochens.
Sorry to interrupt, Chair. If possible, if the Secretariat could send the report tonight, you know, we wouldn't want to be disrupted tomorrow in terms of the reading and stuff. So,
yes.
And then we could approve it tomorrow.
Yes, no, that is a very good one. That is a very good one. Bonani, do we meet at 8? Is it 8 or half past 8?
It's 8 o'clock, Chair.
8 o'clock, it will be for a very short time, and then we can have the debate, and we'll try and ensure that this matter is debated on Tuesday. Meaning on Tuesday, we will start in the morning until 10 to 2. We will be receiving responses from the department on the cannabis bill. Because Tuesday we will need to go to the House and ensure that this report is adopted. So we will meet until 10 to 2. And then on Wednesday, we will also meet until 10 to 3 because it's questions to the peace and stability cluster. And I suspect that some of the members have got questions and follow-ups to the ministers. So we'll meet again. It will be a continuation of the responses from the department. I've been informed that the department has prepared a 72-page response document on the issues raised on the cannabis bill. So it will take us a bit of time. We will try and push the cannabis bill and see how far does it take us. And as we had agreed, we will try and rework program week by week so that we ensure that we are able to respond to some of the issues that have arisen. And so tomorrow, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be dealing with the cannabis bill. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.
No, okay.
Right.
Wait, Friday, what's happening Friday? Are we not supposed to meet on Friday? I didn't hear you commenting on Friday.
Yes, yes. No, we're supposed to meet on Friday. No, we'll meet on Friday.
Okay.
On Friday, we are dealing with SIU, Legal Aid, and Information Regulator.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you. Is it absolutely essential to have a debate on this Information Regulator matter, or can we just deal with the report?
I think we have to deal with the report so that we, if possible, we can just have declarations. I think
indeed.
Maybe. Yes.
There's absolutely no need to trawl through hours of debate on this matter. We all agree.
Agree on declarations. Supported.
Thank you.
No, I know Honorable Glenys Breitenbach is always businesslike, very focused. No excesses, just straight to the point. Thank you very much. And I think we should, the whip of the ANC would advise the programming committee accordingly.
Supported.
Thank you.
Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. Moilop.
Samaya Antle.
Oh, Salahantle Moren.